Welcome back, listeners. I'm Brett Wright, your narrator for Derailed. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode. I have a few important notes before we continue with our story. Derailed is a fictional mystery series, which will run for a limited number of episodes. Content warnings for all of our episodes will be included at the bottom of the show notes. Some of these can contain spoilers, but as Derailed explores dark themes, I recommend checking them out beforehand. The show's founders, Mateo Bradford Vazquez, John Stokinger, and Neely Khan, would like to thank you once again for supporting this podcast and wish you an awesome listening experience. So, in last week's episode of Derailed, a flashback reveals that Lena Hadid fixated on the idea of living forever since childhood. Jace visits Omar Hadid at his rental in Orlando, and their conversation quickly becomes heated after Omar discloses how troubled Lena was as a young girl, which triggers Jace and jolts him into a panic attack. The writer begs Astrid to come to Orlando, and she agrees. Meanwhile, Detective Johnson finally realizes that Officer Ramos has been hiding his interactions with Emily Hadid and demands answers. Ramos tells Johnson that Emily is actually guilty and that he'll explain exactly why. Oh, I'm so ready for this. Let's find out what the truth actually is behind Officer Ramos and Emily Hadid's secret conversations.
All this time, you've been lying through your teeth.
Just hear me out. I can explain everything. And I promise it'll all make sense to you.
You can't promise me crap. You've been lying. Lying. How long has this been going on? How long have you been concealing information from Mrs. Hadid?
Nah, you got it all wrong, D. I'm trying to do right by.
If we find that your conversations with her contain details that could have helped us make progress with this investigation, then disciplinary action will be taken against you, as a minimum. A minimum.
D, would you just listen to me?
Don't call me D. My name is Detective Teddy Johnson, and you, Officer Ramos, I don't even know if you're worthy of that title anymore. I trusted you. I stood up for you when everybody else was giving me a hard time about you and your hot-headed behavior. And you've been lying to me all along.
Well, that's just fucking it, isn't it? I'm the one who's a hothead. I'm the fucking angry dog who can't keep his shit together.
Stop making a scene. Look, you're attracting attention.
Oh, I'm attracting attention? But it's all right for you to raise your voice and speak to me like a piece of shit without even hearing me out first. Man, this is fucked up. I'm out of here. I don't need this shit.
Officer Salvador Ramos, you will not go anywhere until you tell me what the hell is going on. And this time, I want the truth.
After the first time we met with Yusuf and Emily Hadid at their Casiolo Rim, Miami, Emily contacted me in private. I didn't think anything of it other than the fact this would help us immensely. And of course, I had every intention of telling you.
But you didn't.
Emily was keen to open up to me, just me. And I mean, she really wanted to open up. First, I thought she was a grieving mother, you know. She was so desperately sad and lost, actually. I could tell from the cracks in her voice. But then she started telling me things.
What things?
Well, kind of like intimate things.
Ramos, what things?
She told me she was attracted to me. Well, she started off by telling me how unfulfilled she is in her marriage and her life. How Yusuf had never been able to support her emotionally and how alone it makes her feel. I sympathized with her at first. I don't know, kind of understood it. But D, I swear to God, I didn't entertain any of it. And I tried to shut it down right away.
I don't understand. You met her once at their rental in Miami while you were with me. How did she suddenly decide in that short space of time that she was drawn to you? And literally days after the death of her daughter, how could that possibly even be on her mind? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't make sense. And those were exactly my thoughts, too. Like I said, I had every intention of telling you about it. But then she started saying that I was the one leading her on. I mean, I admit, I was warm and kind when she first contacted me, but that's because I saw her as a brokenhearted mom. And I was being sensitive to her feelings. Not because I wasn't interested in her. Fuck no.
Right. So then why didn't you just come to me?
Because she started twisting things, man. And she was turning up near my fucking apartment, calling me incessantly, 20, 30, up to 40 times a day. I kept ignoring her calls, thinking she was off her meds or something, and that she was starting to lose her mind again. She just became obsessed with me. I got confused. She kept making it out like it was me who started this whole thing, because I gave her the time of day and apparently got emotionally involved. But I was just being kind, eh? I kept thinking that this was one of my sisters. I'd want them to be treated with respect, too. I swear. That's all I was doing. And I should have come to you. I know.
Ramos, why? Why should I believe all of this now? You've already proved how easy it is for you to lie to me. For weeks. Do you have any of her messages?
No. No, I got rid of them because I freaked out. But honestly, D, I swear on my mom's life, I'm not lying. I was worried, okay? I've been trying to work up the ranks for years. I didn't want anything getting in the way of that. And I couldn't afford to mess it up.
And on what planet were you on exactly when you thought that lying to me about your conversations with a potential suspect would help you rank as detective? Do you even understand what you've done, Ramos? You've intentionally fabricated potential evidence. Do you know what the repercussions of this could be? I have no choice but to report this to the lieutenant.
Nah. Come on, D. Come on. I'll lose my promotion.
No. You could lose your job. You should have come to me. God, Ramos. You're a grown man and a seasoned officer. Why didn't you just use your head?
Because, all right? I knew how it'd look if it got out. Attractive, rich, American, blonde, grieving mother, vulnerable, a victim. And then me, a black cop accused of leading her on. Come on, man. Don't play dumb with me. You know exactly how that'd play out.
But that wasn't for you to decide. Nor was it your priority. Your priority is this case, Ramos. Your duty is to the state and to the people you've taken an oath to protect and serve. What the hell were you thinking?
Look, D, I'm committed to this case just as much as you are. I know what my duty is, and I swear, as my family and God is my witness, I've given every second of every minute to fulfill that duty over the past 6 years. I put off settling down. I put off seeing my nieces and nephews grow up. Fuck. Found out about my baby sister's accident 2 days after it happened because I was on the case a few months ago in damn motherfucking Detroit. I'm in this for the right reasons. I would never do wrong by you or by the people I know I'm responsible for.
Call Emily.
What?
Call Emily and prove to me that you're telling the truth.
Right. Okay. I'll call her.
Not here. Let's go back to the car. I need to hear this conversation. And Ramos, if I feel at any point that you're bullshitting me again, you will have hell to pay.
A couple of days later, at Universal's Island of Adventure.
Shit, look at the size of that beast.
Yup, the Velocicoaster. It's one of the most popular coasters in Florida.
Apparently it only opened in 2021.
Sounds about right.
Omar said it was one of Lena's favorites. I guess the two of them kept in touch over the years. Hey, thanks for coming with me today. I know it's weird, fuck. Thanks for coming all the way to Orlando for me.
Oh, it's no problem. Like I said, I had a few things to see to in Orlando anyway.
Right, okay. I mean, that you came all the way here just for me. That's just something that casually slips out. I know that you have other important stuff.
Jay, stop over-explaining yourself all the time. You don't need to do that with me. I get you.
Right.
Anyway, this counts as one of your sessions.
What? Here? At a theme park? All right. Well, I guess we can grab some sodas and find a bench somewhere.
Oh, I had something different in mind. More of a practical exercise.
A practical exercise?
Look behind you again.
Yeah? So, it's the Velocicoaster.
Right, so your assignment for today is to ride it.
What? Are you for real? Fuck no.
Oh, come on, Jace. You've been saying for weeks how you want to do something crazy, something completely out of your comfort zone. While this is so far away from your comfort zone, it's practically got its own area code.
Yeah, repping your idea up with a bad joke isn't going to make it any more appealing to me.
Ugh. Come on, what are you afraid of?
How about falling out of one of those flimsy seats and getting my head sliced open on the concrete? Fuck, Astrid. Have you seen how fast that bastard goes?
Only up to 70 miles per hour in around 2 seconds, which actually isn't that fast for a launch roller coaster.
How do you even know that? Shit.
I armed myself with lots of research beforehand because I knew you'd have a lot of questions. And excuses.
Pastor, these aren't excuses. You know how I feel about this.
This isn't a train.
I know.
Are you ever going to open up to me about your fear of trains?
I will. Just not right now. Anyway, so what? What's even the point of me riding this thing?
To prove to yourself that you still have it in you to do things that make you feel uncomfortable? To reconnect with your creative, spontaneous side that has helped you so much in your writing career. And dare I say, to have fun. When's the last time you had fun?
Okay. Then you come with me.
No, this is something you have to do by yourself. That's the entire point.
How the hell am I supposed to ride it on my... Fuck, I need you!
No, you don't need anyone, Jace. Look at me. You don't need anyone. I'll be waiting right here when you're back out. Also, you do know that you're more likely to die in a car accident than you are by slipping out of a roller coaster, right? Don't worry, those lap bars are pretty secure. Hey, you better get me a photo of yourself on it too.
Seriously? Those shitty souvenir pics are like $20. $20 for a pic of me making a total ass of myself. Is that really what you want?
Wow. You know, for a best-selling Forbes featured writer, you're a bit of a cheapskate. Seriously now, jump in the queue before you change your mind. Give me a call if you can't find me after, but I'll be around here somewhere anyway.
I can't believe I'm doing this for you. Okay, here. Just keep holding my bag. I'll see you in a bit. If I make it out alive.
Don't let the velociraptors get you.
I'm so gonna get you back for this.
Meanwhile, Johnson and Ramos have just arrived in Fredericksburg, Texas.
She definitely didn't want to be disturbed. That's for sure.
Private space. Romantic, even. What's the name of the cottage again?
The Franciscan Cottage.
I still can't believe she invited you here. Well, actually, I can't, given how this investigation's going. What a mess.
We'll get to the bottom of it, Dee. An open conversation with Emily is exactly what we need. You've heard her on the phone a couple days ago. She's gotta know more than she's letting on.
Yeah, well... It's a shame you didn't prioritize open conversations weeks ago. And maybe we wouldn't be making such slow progress.
I know, I messed up. But I proved that I was telling the truth about Emily, didn't I? I mean, she's all over the place. Who the hell invites a cop to a romantic private cabin in fucking Fredericksburg while he's investigating the case of your dead daughter? I don't know. I don't understand it, man.
Just leave all the understanding to me. And you focus on keeping yourself out of trouble.
Seriously? You gonna lay into me every time I open my mouth now?
Ramos, regardless of what I heard on your call with Emily, It's going to take some time for me to trust you again. And I'm still pissed at you.
Right. Whatever. Looks like this is it. Wow. It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah? Well, why don't you make yourself comfortable and soak all your troubles away in the hot tub, then? It's beautiful.
Come on, man. I didn't mean it like that.
Hello. Can I help you?
I'm Detective Johnson, ma'am. This is my colleague, Officer Ramos. We're looking for Mrs. Emily Hadid. We believe she's been staying at this cabin rental.
Oh, Emily was staying here. But then she called me a few hours ago to say she had an emergency and had to leave. She didn't want this beautiful cabin to go to waste, so she offered for me to stay here instead. How can I say no? I've always been a fan of cozy vacation rentals and wine. The best vineyards are around here, you know. Is everything okay? Is this about her daughter?
Ma'am, may I ask your name, please?
Violet. Violet Bell.
And how do you know Mrs. Hadid?
Well, she's my friend. One of my good friends, actually. We connected for the first time right here in Texas when Emily was on one of her solo vacations. I remember she turned up at my Monday meditation class without a booking, and I just let her stay. 3 years on, and I still don't think she's ever registered for a session.
Do you mind if we come inside and take a look?
I haven't had the chance to tidy up. Would you mind popping back in half an hour? It's just a bit embarrassing.
No need to be embarrassed, ma'am. I'm sure we've seen a lot worse. We won't take up too much of your time. We just need to take a quick look inside and ask you a few more questions, please.
Of course. Come on in. Apologies in advance for the clutter.
Sweet. This place is spacious for a studio. Just you staying here?
Yes, it's more than enough space for two people. And even though it's a studio, the living and dining area is quite separate from the bedroom area. It's cozy. I especially love this electric fireplace. There's nothing quite like curling up on the sofa right here while that's on. I was delighted when Emily offered this rental to me, actually. Detective, she's a good friend of mine. Please tell me, is she in trouble? Is everything okay?
It's important that we find Mrs. Hadid, as we have some questions to ask her in the interest of her daughter's investigation. Did she tell you exactly where she was heading or what kind of urgent business came up?
No, not really. But she was in a hurry to leave. I didn't want to bother her with too many questions. You know, she's already been through so much recently.
Ramos, you checked the bathroom?
Yep, in the courtyard. That hot tub looks amazing, by the way.
That and a glass of wine is pure heaven.
Did Emily happen to mention why she booked this cottage with cozy rentals? I mean, it's a bit out of the way.
Not for Emily. She loves this part of the city because of all the winery destinations. Fredericksburg really is the best place for it. At first, I just assumed that she was taking some time out for herself. Although, now that I think about it, she did loosely mention that she'd maybe have a friend joining her. I'm sorry. It's not really in my nature to ask people too many personal questions. I don't really know much else.
A friend? Like a male friend?
Yes. Yes, a male friend, I imagine.
So, potentially a lover?
I'm sorry. I don't know much about that part of Emily's life, other than the fact that she travels a lot and has several close and consensual relationships.
Oh, wow. Several, huh? Unbelievable.
Ramos, cut it out. So, Miss Bell, is her husband, Yusuf Hadid, is he aware of these relationships his wife has outside of their marriage?
Look, I'm really not comfortable disclosing these details about my friend.
I'm sorry if this is making you feel uncomfortable, but we're asking you questions for the purpose of our investigation about Lena Hadid, which I'm sure your good friend will want answers for as well, given that this was her daughter. So, may I request that you cooperate with us, please?
Okay, I'm sorry. This is all just a lot to take in, and Okay. So I honestly don't know very much about Emily's other relationships. She's always been very private about them. However, I'm certain that her husband has no idea because the relationship is practically non-existent. Oh, poor Emily. Sometimes I think that if she just got run over and hit by a bus tomorrow, it would take her husband about a month to even realize she's missing. She's just lonely, you know? And what she's doing, I mean, it's not a crime, is it?
Do you think that there's any chance that Dr. Hadid found out about his wife's extramarital relationships and has chosen not to say anything?
I mean, I can't guarantee anything, but I doubt it very much. Yusef is never around. Emily is always left to her own devices. I used to believe that was a good thing, as Emily would do anything to uphold the reputation of being a good, submissive wife. Her parents were very orthodox.
I see. And how would you describe Emily's mental health condition, just generally speaking?
Sorry. What?
Has she seemed on edge to you since the death of her daughter? You know, more anxious?
Well, of course she has. Her daughter was murdered and burned to a crisp not that long ago.
Right. But in a way, that seemed unusual and out of character to you.
I don't understand what you're trying to imply. Look, I'm just here to respond to the questions that I know the answers to.
Sure. Sure, Miss Bell, and thank you. You see, we're led to believe that Mrs. Hadid has been on a number of antidepressants over the years and has a history of mental health conditions. So this, coupled with her recent behavior and what we're continuing to discover throughout our investigation, has made it more important than ever for us to trace her down and speak to her. I can't stress the urgency of this enough. Do you see where we're coming from?
Oh, gosh. Emily, this is all such a mess. She deserved a lot better than this, you know. She did. Yes, Detective. Yes, of course I understand where you're coming from. I'm just worried about my friend. This hasn't been like her. None of this.
What do you mean?
Well, when she first told me she'd be checking into Fredericksburg, she seemed quietly content, excited even. I remember feeling happy for her. I know she loves being close to the Wild Seed Farms and Grape Creek, and I really felt that she deserved a break. But when she briefly mentioned this other person who might have been joining her...
Yeah? What about him?
In the short couple of seconds that she mentioned him, I genuinely felt the weight of her infatuation. I mean, Emily's an attractive woman. You've seen her. She can usually get any man she wants, which has always put her in a place of power. But when she was speaking about this person, she seemed different. Vulnerable. Exposed.
Exposed?
Yes. But that's honestly all I know. I promise. I will be in touch if I hear anything else, but I'm sure Emily will reach out to you herself. She desperately wants to know what happened to her baby girl. I know she does.
Thank you, Miss Bell. And this is my card with the crime reference number. If you can think of anything else, anything at all, or if Mrs. Hadid gets in touch with you, then please contact us as soon as you can. All right?
Of course. Thank you, Detective. Officer.
Thank you, Miss Bell.
Appreciate it, ma'am.
She knew we were coming. Emily knew I was coming here with you and not to meet her here in private. That's why she fled.
Right. But the question is, other than her feelings for you, Ramos, what else is she trying to desperately run away from?
Fuck if I know. Where do you think she's gone? Well, she's damn sure not answering our calls now, that's for sure.
Can you think of anything else that she might have mentioned to you during your conversations?
Not really. She was always either crying or yelling at me. Oh, wait. She did mention something about seasides to me once.
Seasides?
Yeah. Something about the openness of the ocean making her feel liberated. I don't know. Sounded like some hippie shit. But might be a good place to start.
Maybe. I need to get back to the office and piece everything together again. These back-to-back flights are killing me.
Tell me about it. Hey, D.
Don't call me D.
But listen, do you think Lena Hadid knew about her mom's extramarital affair?
Huh. And then Emily Hadid found out?
You heard, Violet. Emily would do anything to maintain her squeaky clean reputation. Anything.
Later that same day, back in Orlando.
I can't believe I did that. Can you believe it? Me on a friggin' coaster. I mean, did you see the height of that second drop? Shit, no wonder Lena loved coasters. I feel incredible. Like I can take over the world.
This photo of you is everything right now. Look at your face. Look at how excited you look. Oh, I love it, Jace. I love it. I'm so glad you faced your damn fears and just went.
Oh, it's all because of you.
Oh, Jace.
No, seriously, I'm like this whole other person when I'm with you. You bring this out, this different side of me that's fun and interesting and easygoing.
Oh, come on. You're all those things anyway. Well, bar the easygoing parts.
You know what? I'm going to let you have that one, but only because I'm in a great mood.
Oh, really? Is that the only reason why?
Shit. You know me so well. And we only connected, like, what, 2.5 weeks ago? It just goes to show that time doesn't always matter in relationships. I've known Sophie for years, and look at us. We could barely have an amicable relationship. But with you, it's...
Yeah, but your relationship with Sophie is completely different, right? I mean, I'm your therapist, and you're my client. It's kind of wired into my professional DNA to get to know people well, fairly quickly. I wouldn't read too much into it.
Right. Sure. Thanks for making that clear. This is me. Thanks for walking with me.
Oh, wow. This is a gorgeous retreat. Love the beach bum charm. Looks like it's pretty spacious inside, too, for just you.
Yeah. It's actually got 3 bedrooms and 3 bathrooms. I know it's a lot for just one person, but I like Margaritaville and thought staying at a nice place would inspire some writing.
And has it?
It's okay. You don't have to act like you're concerned. You're not on the clock anymore.
What do you mean?
You know what you said just now? About you being my therapist and me being just your client?
But that's true, Jace.
Okay. Well, that's that then.
It's important for us to maintain boundaries. For your interest, more so than mine. You know I care about you.
Just forget it. I don't know why you're turning this into such a big deal. Anyway, I'll catch up with you at our next session. Gonna try to get some writing done from here now. Maybe sit on the patio for a while. That's what attracted me to this place most when I read the listing on Cassiola.
Cassiola? You booked this rental with Cassiola?
Yes. Why?
Isn't that the same vacation rental company that you said the Hadids like to use? Because they only have luxury properties in their portfolio.
Yeah, so?
So, is that why you booked this rental with Cassiola? Is this another way of trying to feel closer to Lena?
Well, the brand's been on my mind, yeah. Because all the stuff here with the Hadids. But what's weird about that? When I saw Dr. Hadid's rental in Miami, and then Omar's rental here in Orlando, I thought they were both gorgeous. And I can afford it. I'm pretty sure I deserve it. So why not?
Of course you deserve it, but... Ugh. Tell me, when was the last time you checked for updates on Lena Hadid's case?
I don't know. I guess I scrolled through the news while I was waiting in line for the Velocicoaster.
Do you find that you think about Lena Hadid all the time? Would you say she, like, consumes your thoughts?
Well, I guess. I mean, you know how I feel about Lena. I told you. She inspires me.
Okay, so how about we channel that energy into something healthier? Have you tried writing about Lena Hadid? Or your feelings for her? Perhaps that'll help with the writer's block, too.
I've definitely thought about it. But I don't know. I guess then I feel guilty?
Why guilty?
Because then I just feel like I'm using this horrific tragedy as a way of helping myself. And that just doesn't feel right.
But why so much guilt, Jace? You haven't committed a crime, have you? I tell you what, why don't you think of it as honoring Lena Hadid, of celebrating her life and all the good that you keep telling me she's done? You don't have to share it with anyone. Just let it be a healthy, therapeutic exercise for yourself.
Really? You don't think that'll be too weird?
Not much weirder than tracking Lena's family down around the country and playing detective.
Right. Okay, I'll give it a shot. Thanks, Astrid. And hey, I'm sorry for being a little off about that comment. I understand that you're my therapist and the relationship between us.
It's okay. You don't need to apologize.
I want you to know that I'm not totally oblivious to the situation here. I get that the professional thing, the age difference, the fact that you're married and you have a family.
Jace, there's no situation here. Don't worry. We're just two adults in a professional relationship and we get on well.
Oh, come on, Astrid. You're the most intuitive person I know. You know exactly what's going on.
Look, we need to stop this right here.
You know my heart beats just a little faster every time I see your name pop up on my phone. Every time you laugh at one of my bad jokes. Every time your hand accidentally brushes it against mine while we're walking. You know, I know you know. And I understand why you choose not to address it or pretend like it isn't happening. But that doesn't make my feelings go away. And after all, it's you who's taught me to never, never apologize for the way I feel. So here I am, owning my feelings right here in front of you. Thank you for today, Astrid. Truly. I'll talk to you later.
The next day, at Orlando Police Station.
My God, have you seen the papers? Journalists have been having a field day ever since Emily Hadid was spotted with one of her friends in Ocean City.
Monkeys to the media. All of them. It's shocking what they'll write just to get some more eyeballs on their stories.
True, but the additional press is helpful. The Hadids have become the most talked about family in the country. It's crazy. Hashtag the docs did it is trending on Twitter. I mean, just look at these headlines.
A hump a day keeps the doctor away. Yep. My daughter brought that one to my attention this morning. It's disgusting. Get this crap off my desk. There's barely any space to put down my coffee.
I know it's sick, D, but at least people are talking about it. That'll put some pressure on the perpetrator. With any luck, the little piece of shit will have nowhere to hide.
Right, but with all of these ridiculous conspiracy theories flying around, the perpetrator could also be hiding in plain sight. We need to triple down on our efforts, Ramos, especially now. This amount of media attention could either make or break everything.
Yeah, I'm already seeing a ton of couch detectives making themselves known.
Yeah, it's a goddamn circus. Ramos, we need to identify motive. Without any idea of motive, we can't guarantee that the perpetrator won't attack again. The media is doing a good job of making the whereabouts of every person who's associated with this case known. Frankly, it's a huge safety concern.
I hear that, D. So, let's see where we're at. Linda Hadid arrived in Star River on the morning of July 17th for the NWD conference that was taking place later that same day. She never made it to the conference because somewhere between the hours of 8 and 9:30 a.m., she was attacked. And we know that because of the security footage from the freeway, which shows her car driving into Star River.
And we also know that she was likely attacked somewhere within a 3-mile radius of the Paragon, which is on the opposite side of Mazari Cabin Rentals.
The fire at Mazari was reported immediately at 10:25 a.m., giving the perpetrator a minimum of 55 minutes to take the body to the woodland area, start the fire, and escape. But a main component of that fire was the can of air freshener, the same brand used at Mazari.
Right. One that's not available in any of the stores in Star River because it's a costly, eco-friendly brand that has to be ordered specifically from the supplier. Meaning that whoever started the fire had to have taken the deodorizer from Mazari itself. Either as a last-minute plan or...
But it couldn't have been a last-minute plan, because we checked the security footage for everyone who came in and out of Mazari on the morning of July 17th. We even looked back 3 days prior to that. Nobody outside of guests and team members were spotted.
But that also means that the only people who are most likely to have access to the particular brand of room deodorizer were the team members and the guests at Mazari.
Well, we've spoken to every single team member at Mazari, and none of them have raised any real concerns nor suspicions. And the guests...
11 guests at Mazari Cabin Rentals on the night of July 16th and the morning of July 17th.
Yep, all 5 lodges were occupied with a mixture of families and couples.
Except for one guest who was traveling solo. One guest who's been suspiciously involved with the unraveling of this entire case.
Jace Nolan?
Right.
But Jace Nolan has an alibi. He was at Sleepy Bird's Bakery when Lena Deed was attacked. And he returned back to the grounds nearly 15 minutes after the fire was reported.
Ramos, have you read For the Love of Time? The book that turned Mr. Nolan into a global best-selling author overnight?
No thanks. Fictional romance isn't really my thing, if you know what I mean.
I read it a couple days ago. It tells the story of the main character named Sebastian, who falls madly in love with a beautiful woman. But in the first instance, his love is left unrequited.
Okay.
For most of the story, Sebastian goes completely off the rails. I mean, Jace Nolan has romanticized it in his writing. But if you read between the lines, you can see that this main character is totally losing the plot and becoming obsessive.
Kind of similar to what we found out about Jace's past behavior. When we were digging into his old romantic relationships, a little creepy.
On the surface, the story has a happy ending. Sebastian eventually marries the woman of his dreams, but that's after months of obsessive stalking, which, again, Nolan has romanticized and disguised with symbolic metaphors and poetry.
Yeah, when in real life, it would probably be a restraining order waiting to happen.
In the book, Sebastian emotionally manipulates a bunch of other characters to get what he wants. Almost like a puppet master controlling everybody's last move without them realizing it.
Actually, you know what? You're right. When the guys and I were looking into him a few days ago, we listened back to the interview he did on Diary of a CEO. Fuck. When Bartlett asked him what he loves most about being a writer, he said,
I love the control.
Wait, shit. Are we saying that Jace became obsessed with Lena Hadid? And that could potentially have been a motive?
Ramos, he called Jennifer, one of the other guests from Mazari, snooping around for information one day after the fire. He returned to Star River to apparently collect his book from Juicy Lucy's Donuts, and he was a nervous wreck there too. He's been traipsing around the country questioning Lena Hadid's family members, jeopardizing our investigation, and every single person we've spoken to about Jace Nolan, whether it be Jennifer, Lucy Turner, or even his publishing agent, that 9-9 kid, every one of them has told us he seems completely unhinged. Derailed. You were right to suggest that we formally question him.
But what about Emily Hadid? She's actively avoiding the cops, and we haven't been able to place her exact whereabouts in the days leading up to Lena's death.
Right. And she has potential motive, too, if her daughter knew about all of her affairs. It's interesting. Both Emily Hadid and Jace Nolan display the same emotionally charged, borderline manic behavior. They share a lot in common. Seems like two people who may understand each other.
Yeah, in some loopy fucked up way.
We need to start collating some hard evidence. I know that's tough to do when there's barely any DNA to work with. But we're getting closer, Ramos. I can feel it. Yeah, come in.
Detective Johnson.
The fuck? Are you shaking, man?
What is it, Clint? What's going on?
Detective Johnson, we've just had a call from and two bodies. They're missing from their graves.
Jesus Christ. Who on earth would want to drag two dead bodies out of their graves? Derailed is a No BS production on the Amplified Audio Network of Podcasts. Executive produced by Mateo Bradford Vazquez, John Stokinger, and Neely Kahn. produced and edited by Michael Shamali, and written and directed by Neely Kahn. The team would like to thank the sponsors featured in this episode. Starring sponsor, Cassiola, who promise you vacation homes you'll love across Miami, Orlando, and Aruba, and Cozy Vacation Rentals for ultimate Texas luxury near the finest wineries in the world. Do check these awesome brands out by following the sponsor links in our show notes, as this podcast would not have been possible without them. Make sure you join me next week for episode 9. This is becoming more terrifying by the second.